presence be here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question. That's the series that we're in as we look at different spots where God or Jesus asks us, asks his followers some questions. And so we're going to jump right in this morning to one that's a pretty popular story. One that's a pretty, really powerful question that really impacts our lives all the time, and that unfortunately can often impact our lives in a negative way. We're going to look, we'll go to the scripture in a moment, but we're going to look at the story where Jesus calms the storm. He's in the boat with the disciples. The storm kicks up. He calms it, and then he turns, and he looks at the disciples, and he says, "Why were you so afraid? Do you not have any faith?" And what I love is that faith changes the way that you face your fears. That as you grow in faith, it'll change how you face your fears. You'll still have them. You'll still have struggles. You'll still have storms and difficulties, but faith changes how we face them. What I don't love, what's really difficult, is when stories like this are used to make us feel guilty or shameful for having fears or not having enough faith. That's not what you're going to hear this morning. This isn't a moment to guilt you or to shame you or to say, you should just trust God more and then you wouldn't have difficulties. If you were a better Christian, if you had more faith, then you wouldn't be struggling so much in your storms and difficult moments. That's not what we're doing here this morning. Let me take that weight off of you. In fact, if you were to leave this morning feeling more guilt and more shame about the level of your faith or fears that you face, then that means that I didn't do a good job. Because what we're going to see is a Jesus who encounters his disciples in the boat in the middle of their storm and brings peace into their worlds. Brings peace and hope in the midst of the storm. And this morning, as you get to encounter Jesus, my prayer for you, our prayer for you, is that you will encounter his peace and his hope, and that even if you go home with the storm still raging around you, that you would find his peace. And that you would leave in that peace. So let's, with that, jump into this story. Now, a little context. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. Love it if you would turn in your Bibles there. Always good to bring your Bible, bring a pen, follow along. You got Bible app and you can take notes there as well. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus has been preaching and preaching and preaching. He's been doing ministry. He's been caring for people. He's spending days and days doing this, and there is such a crowd around him that in this moment where we're picking up the story, Jesus isn't actually amongst the crowd. He's in a boat right offshore. He's been teaching for so long. So many people have come. They've crowded around him so much that he's had to have the disciples set out in their boat a little bit just so he could have space to be heard and interact with the people. That's how much of a crowd is there. That's how long he's been preaching. That's how much ministry and power is happening in these moments. The problem is that Jesus, in this moment, fully God, but is also fully human. So he is worn out. He's tired. It's taken some effort. And so, Mark 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." He says, "All right, I need some rest. Evening, let's go across the lake so that we can relax. I can breathe. I can get a nap in there." Sometimes worn out, you're facing fears. One of the most spiritual things you might do is nap. Get some rest. Get some sleep. Let it reset what's going on inside of you. He says, "Let us go over to the other side." And so, leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he already was. He was already in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. There's multiple boats. This group is traveling across the lake, and a storm comes up. Now, if you remember when Jesus calls his disciples, Peter and Andrew, a set of brothers, and some of their friends, another set of brothers, James and John, he calls them while they are fishing. They are professional fishermen. They have been raised by their fathers who were professional fishermen. They grew up on these waters. They grew up on this lake, the Sea of Galilee, which is surrounded by higher points, mountains, and hills that kind of funnel the wind right over top of the lake. It gets stormy out there. This isn't a new thing for them. This isn't a moment where it's like they've never been in this storm. This is something that they're used to. This is something that as fishermen, they can read the weather and know what's coming. Problem is, you can know what's coming. That doesn't mean that the storm isn't going to be difficult. Amen. It's a furious squall. That means it's like a mega storm. It is like hurricane force winds that is coming upon them. This is not a little storm where it's like, y'all are babies, stop whining. This is a problem. This is a natural disaster around them. Right, we've lived through some of these. All right, unfortunately, south of us right now, Jamaica is about to go through one of these. Keep them in prayer. I know Convoy of Hope, one of our missions partners, will respond right after that to be there to care for those people who are about to go through physically one of these storms. So the disciples, they're on the water. The storm kicks up. It is a furious squall. It is so bad. It's not just like it's windy and it's like they're getting seasick. It's not just that. It says that the waves are breaking over the boat. The water is coming over the edges of the boat into so that it's nearly swamped. The boat is filling with water. Now, I am not a boater. I don't go out. I love to be on the boat. I love to be out on the water. It's just not something that we don't own a boat. But I do know this. I know on your boat, the water stays out. You do not want the water inside the boat, right? Some of you are boaters, is that correct? You don't want the water in the boat. This storm is so bad, they're being tossed around so much that the water is coming over. The boat is filling with water. If you have a reason to fear, it's right now, right? If you lived through Hurricane Ian down here and you were in South Cape, anywhere, or any of the areas that flooded, you might remember some of these moments, right? We are in South Cape. We're half a mile from the church, and the church didn't flood. It came up. You can, when you leave, look at our steps outside. It came up an inch below the top of our steps. That's how the water was right here. My house, we couldn't see the water at all. We were texting with our neighbors who live on the canal, like, let us know how it's rising, and like, no, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good. Up until our neighbor's fence blew over, and then we could see it wasn't coming up the canal. The river was literally coming down our streets, right? This is a moment. If the water doesn't go in the boat, it definitely doesn't go into the house. Amen. And so it's a moment like where fear starts to kick up. Faith doesn't mean I just ignore it. It doesn't mean I just pretend it's not a problem. It doesn't mean that, oh, it'll be fine. I'll just go through it. It won't harm me. Like, fear is a real part of life. Storms are a real thing that you and I will encounter, but faith changes how we face those fears. The furious squall comes up. The waves are breaking over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So remember, though, who's in the boat? Who's in the boat with the disciples? Jesus is in the boat. So they don't have a reason to fear because obviously Jesus has a plan. Let's look at his plan. Jesus was in the stern. I Googled it. That's the back of the boat. Not joking. I did have to Google that. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. This moment is just so wild to me. How Jesus could be sleeping in the middle of this hurricane storm. The disciples are freaking out, but he's able to be at rest and at peace. Do you know why? Because he is trusting in the Father who has called him, while his disciples are trusting in the fear that the storm is creating in them. There's a major difference. Jesus is trusting that the Father is going to get them through. The disciples are trusting what their fear is telling them. You're about to die. The storm's going to take you down. You're going to sink. The boat's going to capsize. You're not going to make it through. When we face fear, our faith changes who we're listening to. Am I going to listen to the word of God, or am I going to listen to what others are saying? Now, I'm a very literal person, and it didn't sit well with me that Jesus is asleep in the boat while it's swamped, while it's filling with water. So I spent a lot of time trying to figure this out. My wife and I are blessed that a few years ago we got to go to Israel with Pastor Jamie and Pastor Kim. We got to be out on this lake and see what it's like. And about 15 years before that, there was a major drought in the area, and the lake went really low. The Sea of Galilee went really low. And they actually found one of these boats, like a first century, third century boat. It's in a museum. It's called the Jesus Boat. And we got to see that. We got to be out on the lake. I've told you I'm not great with photos, so I went through my photo album. I didn't take a picture of it. Sorry. I can't help you. So I'm remembering what this boat looked like, and I'm trying to think through. It's not a giant, like, fiberglass boat that one of us would own today. Like, this is a small, like, it's barely better than a canoe. There's multiple of them to carry the disciples, and how is Jesus able to sleep in this without, like, the water coming up too high over him? I woke up a few years ago. Our water line to our fridge had popped a little hole, and it flooded our house overnight. Nobody knew it. My alarm went off. My feet swung down and splashed into 2 inches of water, which was not a fun moment to have as you wake up. You go from real sleepy to really confused. Like, where is my bed right now? What's happening? Why is there water? And then I got really annoyed because right next to my feet that are in 2 inches of water is my snoring dog who has managed to sleep through the entire flooding process. Like, could have woken up and, like, said something. We could have saved a little bit of damage here. But no, he slept through it. He was comfortable. So I don't, like, that's what Jesus is doing. How high is the water getting? And so, like any good 21st century human, I asked AI some questions. I wanted to know, how was this going about? Like, I'm asking it questions about the dimensions of the boat and making sure I remember. And, like, I'm looking up in the Greek this word cushion and what that means. And, like, how is he sleeping? And so as I'm going through it, eventually AI says this. It has a really great idea. And word for word, this is what it says. If you want, I can create a visual breakdown of this scene. How does this sound? It says, I will show you the boat, the wind, the waves, Jesus' position, so you can literally see why the disciples were terrified. And you can see why his sleep is so remarkable. This makes the scene so much more vivid. Do you want me to do that? ChatGPT, it's so kind. It asked me that. It was asking me. But you said yes. So we'll wrap this up because it's so vivid and clear that then we can just head out. This is what ChatGPT gave me. I have some questions. How is that so vivid that it explains it all? Where are the disciples? Did Jesus throw them overboard? What happened to them? And I didn't notice this until somebody pointed out to me after first service, why does he have three hands? Is he laying on top of one of the disciples? Why is he in a coffin? What is happening here? You can't get all your answers from ChatGPT. I'm just saying, you gotta fact check a little bit. This is not right. Now, my wife is sweet. She did take photos of the actual Jesus boat. Christina, if you can show them that. This is that boat. You can see it's not very big, not very spacious. How does Jesus sleep in the back of that while it's filling, while it's swamped? I'm not super sure, but this is why they had multiple boats together. And somehow in the middle of that, Jesus is able to still have peace and be asleep, even though the disciples are freaking out. It's because Jesus is choosing to look at the Father instead of at the storm. What you focus on in the middle of a storm will determine where either your fear or your faith goes. If I focus on the storm, as the water rises, my anxiety rises. My fear rises. My level of freaking out gets worse and worse. My panic comes up. Then that's going to trigger all kind of things. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to be stressed. I'm going to be not very kind. Or while the water is rising, I can choose to look to Jesus and I can see his hope. Let me tell you, if Jesus is confident in this moment to be asleep, then I can be able to just chill for a second. I better be able to. If Jesus is there, if it's his idea, who said, let's get in the boat? I'm asking, tell me, who said, let's get in the boat? Verse 35, you remember? That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side. Is he still in the boat? Do we need to put up the ChatGPT picture? He's still in the boat. He's there with them. If it was his idea and he's still with you, he will get you through it. You don't have to amp up your faith. You don't have to fake pretend like you're confident. You can just say, Jesus, I am freaking out right now. I need you. I need you. I need you. That's what faith enables us to do when we face fear. Does it make us strong enough to get through the fear on our own? It just points us to the God who is in control. Amen. Amen. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Jesus, don't you care? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you like, pay attention, Jesus, wake up. We're gonna die. Don't you care? In my Bible, since I've gotten to be part of this church rooted here for over 20 years, I've heard Jamie preach this, and he told us the last time he preached it to write Y-E-S in your Bible. Do that today if you haven't. Don't you care, Jesus? Yes, absolutely he cares. He's right there with them. He doesn't leave them to face the challenge on their own. He doesn't say, you'll figure it out, just go on without me. In fact, a few months later, they are on the boat without him. And another storm happens. Jesus has gone away to pray. This time, he doesn't get much space to be on his own. He tries to take a nap, and they freak out and wake him up. So a few months later, he sends them out on the boat while he goes and spends time with the Lord. Another storm comes. This is where Peter walks on water because Jesus walks on the water out to them. They go through another storm, and Jesus makes sure that he's there present with them. He walks out to them. It's a very different story but it gives us the same kind of point. Peter sees Jesus. He calls out and says, Jesus, is that you? Jesus says, yes. And Peter says, if it's really you, then let me come walk to you. And Jesus says, okay, come out on the water. And Peter walks on the water. And this really powerful verse in Matthew tells us that Peter takes a few steps on the water, not because of his faith, but because Jesus is there. Takes a few steps on the water, and then Matthew says this, then Peter looked and saw the wind, and he saw the waves, and he became afraid, and he started to sink. Jesus is still there. Jesus still gave him permission to come out, but Peter's focus changed. He stopped looking at Jesus and started looking at the storm. The storms that you and I go through, they are very real. The fears that you face, they are very real. But the calling of God on our lives is to not look at them and instead to look to him. The disciples get it right. The fear starts creeping up and they go and they ask Jesus for help. They go and they cry out to him. They say, Jesus, if we're going to get through this, we need your power. We need your strength. It's not their abilities that get them through. It's their willingness to come cry out to Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're like me or like the disciples here, but here's one of the things that I do know about storms. They might come on quickly, but you don't get into the worst of them right away. It takes a few minutes for the storm to build. The worst part of it's usually in the center, not out on the edge. Right, so the disciples have been in the boat traveling into this storm. The boat doesn't fill in 1 second. Even as the waves splash over, it takes a few minutes for the boat to start to fill. There's been some debate happening on this boat about when should we wake up Jesus? When should we go get him? When should we cry out to him? I'd imagine it's probably somebody like Thomas, Doubting Thomas, who's freaking out first, saying, we've got to get him. I don't know how we're going to get through this. I'm not sure. James and John, the strong ones, the sons of thunder, they call themselves. They're, I'm sure, the tough ones, saying, no, we're fishermen. We'll be fine. Stop. And you know who it is. You know it's Peter who finally breaks through them and goes to wake Jesus up, right? But it takes a minute. Does it take a minute in your life? It does in mine. It takes a lot more than a minute, usually, for me to face storms before I turn and say, I need to go get to where Jesus is. The reason why my fears amp up, the reason why my anxieties amp up, are because I try to face storms in my own strength. It's because I try to walk through them on my own instead of turning and going to Jesus. Instead of turning and saying, Jesus, I need you in this moment. I need you to come through. This is what faith is that I say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to choose to be in your presence in spite of the storm that's raging around me. That as the storm continues, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look to you. They wait a little bit. I tend to wait way, way too long. I'm independent. I'm stubborn. I like to do my own thing. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying it's a bad thing. Some of you are wired like me. Some of you, you might look at that and you have more of this like self-pity moment of like, oh, well, like he's sleeping. Like it's been a tough day. Like he's got a lot that he's carrying. There's a lot that the Lord's doing. Like he's keeping this whole earth spinning. Have you seen the problems that are happening over there? Like there's a hurricane today. Like he's probably a little bit busy. I don't need to bother him with my storms. I'll get through it. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. There is nothing too little to bring to him. If it is a storm in your life, if it's bothering you, if it's on your mind, if it's causing you drama, if it's causing you anxiety, then he wants to be in the middle of it. He doesn't want you facing it alone. This is what faith is, that I can trust him in the middle of the storm, not that I have to wait for him to take my number and it's my turn in line to finally ask him. No. No, he wants to walk with you through the storm every step of the way. Don't wait. Don't worry about, am I going to bother him? You ain't going to bother him. He wants to be with you. Now look at what Jesus does. They wake him up. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He doesn't answer them in the scripture, but his actions answer them. He got up. He rebuked the wind. And Jesus said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. This is the Lord that you want over your life. The one who can call out from the helm of the boat. Another boating term. He can call out from the helm of the boat. He can call out the storm to stop, to bring peace in the middle of what you're going through. Completely calm. Completely at peace. Because he is the God over all the storms that you will ever face in your life. You need him to be Lord over your life so that you can have access to him, so that you can cry out to him, so that you can say, God, I need you in the middle of my storm. Come bring this fear to peace. And he will. He shows up. Now, maybe we could pick a number of examples and just throughout this room, maybe the marriage, it's on the rocks. Right, like maybe your husband's out at the men's retreat, coming home. This was like, Hail Mary, Jesus, show up at the retreat or else we're getting separated. And that fear continues to rise. He's the God who can calm that storm. He's the God who can bring that relationship back to peace. There'll still be things that you've got to work through, pieces that you've got to walk out to get back on the same page, but he can bring peace in the middle of that storm. Maybe it's a diagnosis. You get that kind of phone call where it's like, you know, you had the test and you wait for them to call, and then you get the call and it's not the like, hey, your test results are good, we'll see you in a month or in a year. It's the, hey, we need you to come down to the office tomorrow to discuss your test results. It's that call. And that storm starts spinning and amping up, and you're in the middle of that. And how do I find peace in the middle of that? I find Jesus who can calm the storm. And I get with him, and I listen to him speaking into my life so that I can have peace in the middle of it. He is the God who can calm storms. I tell you what mine is. My fears that well up right now are related to the transition we're in. In a year, I'll take over this church and leading it, and Pastor Kim, who opened it, and Pastor Jamie, who's leading out at the men's retreat, will retire in December of next year. And so I face those fears, right, of like, how can I be as kind and relational, as loving as Pastor Kim? Because that ain't gonna happen. I can't do that. Sorry, nothing about you, that's just me. I can't do that. How could I lead this church and be like simultaneously as engaging and entertaining and just the ability that Pastor Jamie has to lower the temperature, to make it so that you can engage and hear the word? How can I do that? I can't. That's not the way that I am as much. Like, there's a lot of fears and anxieties that can creep up in those moments. Now, I have two options. I can do where the disciples start. I can focus on that. I can focus on the inabilities, the things I can't do, who I'm not, and I can stare at the storm. And as I do that, the storm gets bigger, the anxiety goes up, the fears rise, or I can turn and find Jesus. I can be reminded, who said to get in the boat? Right, this was Jesus's idea for this transition. It wasn't mine. It wasn't Pastor Jamie and Pastor Kim's. They've been very clear. This was what Jesus is leading them to. Okay, so he's leading us. Well, then is he still in the boat? Is he still here? Yeah. Yeah, he's still present. Oh, okay. All right. So you're saying it's not my job to stop the storm. Jesus is going to take care. He's going to lead the church. He's going to be proud. Let the anxiety lower, like in my life, like these are the conversations I have with my counselor. Thank you for being part of my therapy session today. Like, this is Jesus showing up to calm storms. Nothing changes outside. Transition still happens. The marriage is still on the rocks. The health diagnosis is still in limbo. But you know what? We have a God who calms those storms. So we cry out for peace in the middle of work changes. We cry out for peace in the middle of a dissolving marriage, and we go get counseling, and we get into a group, and we get good people around us who can help us through and walk with us. Or we go to a group and we say, guys, I just got this diagnosis. I need you to pray for me. I go to the doctor's office tomorrow, and your group looks at you and says, all right, where at? We're going to be there with you. We're going to walk with you. One of the hardest things about this difference between faith and fear is that your fears are very visible. They're very tangible. You can see them. You can feel them. You know the storm is coming. You feel it as you go through it. And faith often pushes us into a realm where I'm relying on a Jesus who I can't physically see. It takes a layer of trust. But what I love is that he gives us relationships, people around us who I can see, who can support me, who will walk with me, who are part of the community and part of the answer to say, we're going to stand with you. And when you can't see your way back to Jesus, we'll lead you to him. When you can't feel him, we will carry you and reassure you that he is right here. He gets up, he rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And now Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The order is always important. He calms the storm first, then let me ask you a question, disciples. Why are you so afraid? So let's tie it back to the beginning. Who does Jesus rebuke? I want you to tell me. I need to hear this. Who does Jesus rebuke in this story? Say it louder. Say it so you believe it. He doesn't rebuke the disciples, does he? Is he yelling at them? No. Is he mad at them? No. Who does Jesus stop in this moment? He rebukes the storm. He brings it to peace, and then he turns and encourages his people. Why are you so afraid? I'm right here with you. You don't need to face your fears alone. You don't walk through them by yourselves. You don't have to do it even in your own power and strength. He says, I am here with you. He says, do you still have no faith? This is early on in the ministry. They've been together for maybe a year or so. We don't know exact. They've just come from a long session of Jesus teaching over multiple days. I'm sure there's miracles happening. They're not recorded in scripture during this teaching. You know what the last miracle they saw him do was? A few days ago, they saw Jesus raise a single mom's dead son back to life. They just saw him do that. A few days ago, Jesus brought somebody back from the dead. And here they are a few days later, still struggling with fear. Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen Jesus raise somebody from the dead? Anybody? Anybody? No, me neither. It's okay. It's okay. So if they just saw that a few days ago and just saw Jesus calm the storm and they're still a little bit fearful, why would you expect for your life to be any different? You're going to face fear in the storms. That is part of being human. That's okay. Having fear is okay. What you do with that fear in the moment is what matters. Jesus rebukes the storm and then comforts and encourages his people. This is what he does in our lives too. He'll bring peace around you. You might still face the output of it. You might still face some of the difficulties. He'll calm you, bring peace in you, and say, I'm going to walk through this with you. Let me encourage you. Let me love on you. Let me be there present with you. When we go through storms, the best thing that we can ask is, God, what are you doing in my life? God, what are you wanting to teach me? What are you wanting to change in me? What do you want to show me as I go through this storm, as I go through this trial? Because you will face trials. You will face storms. You will never get to a spot where you have enough faith that you never have difficulties in life. Sorry, I wish that were not true. I wish, like, we could just sell out some books, right? Like, if you came to faith and you never faced any more fears, never had any more problems, we could raise some money around here. We could sell that. Amen. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, you're still going to, in John 17, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. He says, in this world, you will face storms, but take heart, I will overcome those storms that you will face. That matters a lot because this is the end of chapter 4. In chapter 5, they land on the other side. The storm is calm. They land on the other side. Jesus, worn out from days of ministry, looking to go rest, gets off the boat and is immediately encountered by a demon-possessed man. Has compassion on him, heals him. Sets him free. The demon leaves, goes into a herd of pigs. They all die. It's a very tragic moment. So the entire city freaks out. They come out, they freak out, and they ask Jesus to leave. And you know what he does? Same day, hours later, still hasn't gotten a full nap because the disciples were rude and woke him up. He turns, he looks at his disciples, and you know what he says? Get back in the boat. Get back in the, we're going back across the sea. They just got out of the storm. They're like, Jesus, can we? He's like, no, I'm going with you still, don't worry. But we're going back out. We ride again. You will face storms. It's part of being human. But you don't ever have to face them alone. He said to his disciples, verse 40, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They don't respond verbally. Again, we get the answer by what they do. Verse 41, they were terrified. Yeah, they're still afraid. They're still afraid. They're figuring out how to grow in this faith. You don't get to just parachute in to not having fear. You don't say yes to Jesus and then all of a sudden never struggle with faith or fear again. This is a process that we walk out. It takes time to grow faith. It takes time to learn when I come up to a storm, I turn and talk to Jesus first. Not, I come up to the storm, I try my first solution. That fails. I try my second solution. That failed. This was my Tuesday. I try my third solution. That fails. I try my fourth, fifth. Then I remember I'm a pastor. Oh, let me go back to where Jesus was and pray. That's what we do. It takes time to change that. Now, let me end with a little bit of hope. By the time you get to the book of Acts, the disciples have changed. In between Mark 5 and Acts 4, there's a lot of failures on the disciples' part. Right? I told you, Peter goes out on the water. He falls. He sees the storm. Peter denies Jesus before he goes on the cross. Jesus goes on the cross, and the disciples desert Jesus. Jesus dies and they go and hide in rooms with locked doors. They are still afraid and fearful. It's constantly part of their story. Jesus returns, empowers them, ascends to heaven. Then there's this moment of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit comes, where they start to encounter the Holy Spirit and the Lord in a new way. That's Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they go out preaching. They go through the streets. They actually heal somebody. They heal somebody. God's power shows up. It creates such a commotion that because they healed this guy and they're preaching in the name of Jesus, Peter and John get arrested and they're put on trial. Months after Jesus was just put on trial and sent to the cross to die, they're put on trial by the same group, the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders. And they speak boldly before them. And I want to read to you just one verse out of Acts chapter 4. This is from the point of view of the Sanhedrin, of the leaders who are wanting to put them to death, who are wanting to put them in prison. When those people saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. Let's pause. I'm going to just go ahead and assume one more thing about you. Most of you have gone through some level of schooling, yes? None of you were raised out on the lake just to be fishermen. You've gone to school. You've learned your letters. You can speak intelligently, carry on a good conversation. You are schooled. So you got to step above the disciples here. I'm also going to make another assumption that you are all ordinary human beings. No aliens, no cyborgs in the room. All regular people, born from a mama and a dada, growing up as best you can in our world. Ordinary humans. So you are right on par, if not a step ahead of, the disciples in this moment. When these leaders saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note. Where did their courage come from? Where did their ability to stand from? Where did they get their faith? They were astonished. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. This is what brings faith into our lives, that we figure out, how do I get more time with Jesus? The more time that you get to spend with him, the more your faith will rise, the better you'll be able to handle those fears, those storms that come into your world. Get part of a small group where you can have people speaking into your life. Keep coming. You're doing it. You're here. Keep coming on Sundays. Receive from the Holy Spirit in moments when we close in prayer and have a team up here. Come get some prayer. Set an alarm. Get up a little bit earlier tomorrow. Spend some time with Jesus. Let him speak into your life. This is how we grow in faith. It's not a momentary, like, thunderbolt slaps you. You get this, like, now I'm a person of faith. It's day in, day out, I choose to be with Jesus. And you know what's really great? He's chosen to be with you. You don't walk into those storms alone. Instead, he chooses to walk with you to bring you hope, courage, and strength